Amen. Well, it's good to be back in the Lord's house this evening. Amen. Y'all good? Amen. Am I loud? Preach! Amen. Turn it up some. I was just handed a flyer to read to you. Barbecue lunch and dinner by the Healing Hearts, July the 27th at here at Calvary from 11 to 7. Barbecue's being sold by the pound or by the plate. Plates will include coleslaw, baked beans, roll, and pound cake. Per pound is $7 per pound. Per plate's $8 per plate. Drinks available for an additional charge. It's a fundraiser for the Healing Hearts. If you'd like some of the barbecue, I guess, Miss Jean, is that being fixed by Chris or Brother Joe or some of the... No?
It's from
Combs. From Combs Butcher Shop down in Elkin?
Well, we've got tickets to sell.
You're pre-selling tickets to that. So if you need information on that, raise your hand, Miss Jean. If you need tickets or you need to see anybody, right there is how you get them. And Brother Ken, yeah, it's for the Healing Hearts. And Brother Ken, if you want to help her, I'd be appreciated. It's good to be here tonight. It's good to be saved. Folks, I've had a rough day. I'm just going to be honest with you. But God's not took this message off my heart. Matter of fact, He changed the message late this evening. I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version of what I was going to give you earlier because I believe that's what God would have me to do. I thought tonight that I was going to preach on this thought. It is finished. It's just the beginning for us. And I told him that in the prayer room, that at the cross, when one of the seven sayings from the cross was this, it is finished. What did our Savior mean when He said, it is finished? You know the seven sayings, and Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit, and I thirst, and Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. The seven sayings, one of those was, it is finished. Now, if you look at it is finished, and if you look at the finality of the life of the man called Jesus, and you see that as the culmination of His life, and man, you're downhearted and you're depressed, and you see that as a final chapter in a life well lived, you're a depressed, most likely a lost person. But if you see that as the conclusion of a life well lived, but the beginning of your eternity, then you, my friend, are on to something far greater than you can ever imagine. Even joy unspeakable and full of glory. I just look at Brother Kenny, knowing some of the prayer requests he's got on his heart, some of them that maybe he shares in his family. Brother Tam, I just looked at Brother Kenny and I looked right at him and I said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? God's never been one-upped by Satan. Nothing's ever took God by surprise. Can you imagine Him making Adam and Eve and putting them in the garden, all of a sudden them mess up and sin, and the Lord say, God say, oh, they've done it. No! The Bible says that Christ was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. God has always had a remedy for sin, for your problems, for my problems, and for whatever our great need is. And we have great needs. To tell you why my day was so bad and or hard, and then why I'm going to the book of Philippians chapter number 4 tonight, I'm going to give you the title of the message before I tell you what's going on. It's namely this. Get honest with God. That's the title of the message tonight. Get honest with God. I think it's time we come clean before God.
Yes.
Listen to me. You may not be lying with your tongue, but if you're lying with your actions, you're still lying before God. You say, what does that mean, preacher? If you say, I love the Lord, oh, I love the Lord, but you never come to His house, you don't read His word, you don't pray unto Him, I wonder how much you really do love Him. And He Himself is sitting there thinking, you don't love me, because if you loved me, you would keep my commandments. Now that's Bible, that's Scripture. So you may not be a liar with your tongue, but you may be a liar with your deeds. Oh, I'm going to raise my kids up to fear the Lord, but you don't bring them to church. You want them to be over here. You want to take a month off to let them go do this or go do that. My friends, if it's not Christ, it's nothing. If you're not gathering, you're doing what? You're scattering. If you're not loving, you're hating. Now, this is just about as plain as it can get, Brother Kippy. It's about time we got honest with God. Now, this morning started like every other morning. I got up at 6:30. And I went to work like I do. I was there at 6:45. You said you got up at 6:30. You was there. Yeah, I live 5 minutes from the office. It took me 10 minutes to brush my tooth, get my clothes on, and get out the door. And I pulled in at 6:45. Within 45 minutes, I've got myself, one clerk, and seven carriers in the building. Mail comes in, mail goes out. Packages come in, packages go out. We just what we do, John. We move mail. My carriers pulled down, my carriers left. My carriers come back, and my carriers went home. But one of my carriers didn't make it home. I had one killed in a car accident today. Now, I'm not telling you that for shock value. I'm telling you that for this. My friends, you do not have the promise that you're going to pillow your head on your pillow tonight. I'm honest with you. That's why this message is such a stand-up message tonight. Brother John, it's time we get honest with God and quit playing church. Quit pity-patting around the things that are the most important things in our lives. Charles, there's nothing more important in the life of Charles Bumgarner than you and your relationship with a thrice holy God. And that goes for you and you and me. This morning when you come in, and Miss Diane said, "Hey," and you said, "Hey, that's my preacher." You remember that? And she said, "Well, hey, that's my boss." You remember that? And I said, "Diane, don't call me a boss." I said, "Call me what?" I said, "Call me a co-worker." Brother Kippy, it's more than a boss relationship. We're tight. I see y'all 3 times a week. I'm with them every day, 5 days a week, and sometimes 6. To not see her anymore, Brother John, breaks my heart. It really does. It makes me want to go back and revisit all of our conversations. It makes me want to go back, Brother Tam, and see her one last time and say, "Honey, let's just get honest with God. Let's just get honest before God tonight, today, because we don't know. Our lives are as a vapor. And my friends, we are going to leave here. We don't know when. If we did, we would, Bible said, if in this life only we had hope, that we'd be of all men most miserable. Brother John, you knew that at Saturday at 3:27 p.m., you're leaving here. Brother, you'd be getting busy. You'd be doing everything you could think of. But brother, you don't know that you're going to leave before then or not. My friends, let's get honest with God. Let's get honest before God. Let's get honest with God. You said that's a funny place to take a text for getting honest with God. It's right there. You'll see it in a minute. I asked you that as a prayer request. I told you that in opening. We're a small office. I've got 3,000 square foot under one roof. There's 14 of us. On any given morning, Brother John, there's 10 of us. We're going to be missing one in the morning. She was my regular Route 1 carrier, most senior carrier I had in the building. We called her Crazy Helen. Crazy as a bug. If work was a party, and it's not, work's never a party. It might be where y'all work, but if work were a party, Miss May, she would be the life of our party. Type A personality, come in, suck the oxygen out of the room. Everybody knows she's in the building. Crazy as a bug. I do believe that Helen's in heaven tonight. She left us the testimony that she loved the Lord. She was saved. But she's like so many people that you know. And so many other people didn't go every time the doors were open. Just because you go to church every time the doors are open, let me assure you something. That don't mean you're going. That doesn't mean you're right. And that's why I'm preaching this message tonight. Get honest with God. I would invite you to stand all over the church house tonight. The reverence, the reading of His Word. The Bible starts off there in that fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. I'll pick up the reading in verse number 4 of the fourth chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Man, we ought to be able to rejoice. Brother Joe, not if you can't rejoice in here, where are you going to rejoice? Brother, this is rejoicing ground. This is praise ground right here. We don't have to have a praise team. We don't have to have a worship band or a praise band or a worship team to try to conjure something up. Bless God, what we need is a bunch of prayer warriors to pray something down. And when that happens, my friend, then we can rejoice in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Verse number 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is where? Is he afar off, my friends? Is he some distant God in some far country peradventure? Maybe your God is taking a nap. Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe your God is like those that Elijah had to talk about. Maybe yours has just fell asleep. Why don't you yell a little louder? Maybe yours is on a journey peradventure. He's taking a trip somewhere. No, the Bible said in this verse that the Lord is at hand. My friend, he's close as you want it to be, Kim Caudill. He's just as close as you want it to be in your life. He is as real. But bless God, he's not a bossy God. He's not some big old God that just butts right in and says, you're going to do this. You're going to worship me. Right. No, bless God, he made us a free moral agent. And bless God, we get to worship him in spirit and in truth if we desire to. Amen. Or we can just skip that and mock him with our everyday livelihood. But I tell you what, he's a just God, and the Bible said that he's not to be mocked. That's what it says. It said the Lord is at hand. It says be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If you were here at Mind, Soul, and Body the night that I jammed my finger and Kayla broke her ankle, raise your hand. And that did happen. I'm sorry, Kayla. I'm sorry about your ankle. I'm sorry about putting you on the spot like that. But Brother Kenny, in his last closing 30 seconds, 45 seconds of his message on Sunday night, gave me the devotion for Monday night. And I'll let you sit down a minute. My devotion would tie very closely with this, where it says, let your requests be made known to God. He said, pray in specifics. My wife and I have been praying in specifics, and we've had some specific things answered. God knows what he's doing. I'll share that with you sometime, but God's doing some things. It's above, according to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse number 20, it's exceeding and abundantly above that I could ever think or ask or think. John, I can't even fathom. I can't even, it's stuff that you can't make it up. I mean, it's just one of those things, you just had to be God. But we were so specific with God in our request, and to have God answer them, I don't even know why we were surprised, but when I sit back scratching my head saying, man, God is so good. And the peace of God. Don't we all need that? Which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now I want you to listen to verse number 8. And then I want you to listen expressly to verse number 9. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, I take my text from that. Whatsoever things are honest, it's about time we get honest with God. Whatsoever things are pure, or whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So what's he saying, preacher? He's saying, wrap your mind around this stuff. It'll help you. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Everybody say that next word with me. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Brother James Haynes, ask God to bless us, my friend. Amen. As you're being seated, let me just kind of go back to the open just a little bit and say this, that your kids are watching. As a pastor, the congregation's watching. As a deacon, the church is watching. As a Sunday school teacher, the class is watching. As a daddy, the kids are watching. So we're all a bunch of watchful eyes, are we not? So is it true? You've heard it said that a picture's worth what? 1,000 words. If a picture's worth 1,000 words, How many snapshots could be taken of our lives in a given day? How many minutes are in a day? How many minutes in an hour? How many seconds in a minute? Could you not snap a picture every second? What are they going to see every time a picture is taken? And if a picture's worth 1,000 words, what's the total sum of all those words, of those actions? In other words, what are your kids seeing? I say it's time to get honest before God. And if we get honest before God, those kids that are looking at your life's a snapshot. Alexi and Preston seeing Daddy today. What's Daddy doing today? Is Daddy the preacher that he says he is? Is Daddy this? Is Daddy that? Are each one of us living up to the full potential that God gave us to be? Are we just haphazardly? Are we just recklessly with our testimony, living it before people, not really caring what that picture is saying? Honey, a picture's worth 1,000 words. And I've heard that all my life. But the Bible also tells us about these pictures. Pictures and silver, apples and silvers of gold. I messed that up. But I'm telling you this. Your actions are speaking. Your mouth is speaking one thing. And your actions are showing the true story. What are you doing? What are we doing? As a church, as a whole, as a family, as a husband, as a daddy, as a preacher, as a pastor, what is the lifestyle? What is the mannerism? What is the testimony? What is the whole? What is the conclusion of the life of John Shumay? My God, it better be that you are honest with God and that you're living your life as a testimony of the living God that lives inside of you.
Amen.
It's time we get honest with God. You said, preacher, do you really get frustrated? I get frustrated a lot of times. I'll tell you one of my frustrations is namely this, that we say we love the Lord, but we don't always come to church. That bothers me. You said, yeah, but preacher, you got the backbones here tonight. I wish the Sunday morning crowd could be here. I wish they could too, but Brother John, God didn't give me this for Sunday morning. He gave it to me for tonight. So it's not for them, it's for us. And by God, if we, the ones here tonight, maybe 150, 160, 70 people here, if we ourselves could get excited, and Brother Kenny, by God, we got on fire for God. When we get the place right with God, Brother Tim, what's going to happen? Those that come in on Sunday morning are going to be saying, what in the world?
Yes.
What's going on around there?
Yes.
And bless God, even as Peter would warn himself by the enemy's fire, bless God, if we get our fires burning, your daddy preached this message. You get your own fire. You remember that message? I remember him preaching that message here. Get your own fire. If we can get on fire for God, somebody going to get a little off of us.
Amen.
I know one thing happens around the house. I don't see any in here, but we've got candles everywhere. And I've told you the story before. They've never been lit. But a while back, if you remember back, we had about, 3 days that we went without power around the house. That was that cold spell and power went out and we were shivering and snuggling and we started lighting candles. But you know what I did, Brother Grant? I'd take that one candle. What would I do with that candle? I'd light another candle. What would I do with that candle? I'd light another candle. My friends, if you light your candle, if you'll let Christ light your candle, if he will set your soul on fire, bless God, you're going to burn somebody else up. You're going to draw them into that. And bless God, they'll see the light. And bless God, they might even get on fire themselves. But it's time that we each one get honest with God. Like I said, you may not be a liar per se with your words, but if your actions are not backing up what you're saying with your tongue, then my friends, you're found to be a liar.
Yes.
The Bible talks about hidden sins are still sins. And that man that hides those sins is not going to prosper, according to the book of Proverbs. But confession is good for the soul. My friends, if your sins are hidden, then they are not confessed. If they are not confessed, they are not forgiven. So let's get honest with God. So many times, brother, you see people come up here and here's about their prayer. Father, I come before you tonight. And Lord, I just bring myself before you. I need you. I lay myself on this altar. And Lord, if I have sinned, would you please forgive me? My friends, that's not honest with God.
Amen.
That's not honest with God.
Yes.
Back up and take that if out there.
Right.
Stop saying, if I have sinned. Brother Tam, that's worthless before God. Get up there and say, God, I'm a sinner. I have sinned today in that I have thought wrong. I have looked wrong. I have betrayed. I have not prayed. I have not studied your word. I have not read my Bible. I skipped last Wednesday night, even though I could have went. I just said I was tired. I'm sure my pastor was tired, but he went. But Lord, forgive me because I'm lazy. Get up there and get honest with God.
Amen.
So about time we got honest with God and quit saying, if I have sinned.
Yes.
Say, Lord, I just messed up. I am a sinner. I lied. I cheated. I stole. I did this. I did that. And get honest with God. Because a confessed sin can get forgiveness.
Amen.
A hidden sin is not going to prosper according to the Word of God. And namely, what? Help my, you hear how much clearer it was after I got a little water in it? Do you realize that the punishment, Macy, remember this, when you were little, the punishment is never nearly as severe. Never. Sometimes it wasn't even there. If they come to us and told us that they had messed up. It just wasn't, Brother Tam. But if it's found out and tried to be covered up, and then it's found out, Brother John, it's a little rougher. I remember a little boy by the name of Charlie. I won't give you his last name. These things go on the internet. And Charlie came into post office one day. Charlie's about 9. He came in to get the mail. And while he was in there, he had a little Sharpie in his pocket. In about 3-inch letters about this big up the side of the wall, he wrote Charlie. If you're going to write anything, write John. If you're going to write anything, write Kenny. Write Jake. I didn't see it. But you know what happened? His daddy come in the next day to get the mail.
Oh.
Where'd he write it? Here's his box. That's where he wrote it. He come in there and said, that looks like my son's handwriting. I said, what? He said, come out here. I went out there and he said, what's that? I said, that does look like your son's handwriting. I said, your son's name Charlie.
Yeah.
He said, yeah. He said, we'll be back. I'm telling you that for a reason. This is another one of those parables. It's a true story with an heavenly meaning. His daddy brought Charlie back down and introduced me. Charlie, this is a public official. He has been through the ranks of a carrier. He's been a postal supervisor, and now he is the postmaster general. Now, he told that story. I didn't. He's got me elevated. I'm the postmaster general. He said he's the postmaster general. So he's in charge of this place. Is that right? I said, yeah, I'm the postmaster. He said, Charlie, you're going to tell him what you did. Charlie just kind of hung his head. He said, Charlie is going to tell you what he did. And I'm like, Charlie, you better do it, Charlie. I said, okay. What'd you do, Charlie? He said, I wrote on your wall. I started to pull a line out of Andy Griffith and say, no writing on walls. For it takes a lot of work to get writing off of walls. But I said, you did. I said, where'd you do it? He said, it's out here. I said, come show me. He went out and showed me exactly what he had done right where his daddy had already showed me the day before. He said, tell the postmaster what you're going to do. He said, Mr. Mark, what I would like to do is, I'd like to come down here every day after school next week. And I'm going to bring my bucket. And I'm going to bring my cleaning supplies. And I want to clean every one of your boxes. In your box, in your all 1,200 of them, I want to clean all your boxes. I'm going to wash them all, and I'm going to clean them all up. And he said, but before I do all that, he said, I want two things. I said, what's that, Charlie? He said, I want you to forgive me. I said, Charlie, you're forgiven. And I told, I started to tell his daddy to just forget about it. Get that off and leave it. But I said, I can't do that. I cannot undermine the Father. My friends, I will not undermine my Heavenly Father. I will not undermine my God. And for that next 5 days, that next week, We had an appointment. It was me and Charlie. His daddy come in. They lived about 3 blocks from the post office. His daddy come in, dropped him off, made sure he was insecure, and Charlie would go to work cleaning boxes. I would kind of supervise Charlie, make sure nobody run off with Charlie and everything's still good in the lobby. You say, what's that all about? My friends, it would have been a whole lot better if Charlie had come to me and said, Mr. Postmaster, I don't know why I did it, but I did it. Or maybe I did it because I'm a mean one and I'm just a little rebel at heart and I wrote my name out there on the wall. Can you get that off before my daddy sees it? Or do you have something that I can get it off before my... But see, the thing is, the Bible said, Brother Kenny, that you can be sure that what's going to happen. You can be sure that your sins shall find you out. And my friends, God already knows about them. Now what he's wanting us to do is to come before him and confess them that he then can forgive you of them. Now, I didn't say that you're not going to still get punished. My friends, there's a whole lot of people committing murders. A whole lot of people confess to their murders, but that does not alleviate them from the penalty phase of the or the punishment phase of what they did. Is that right or wrong? That's the true story. Now, let me tell you this. God's going to wipe your slate clean, but you might have to live under some of the consequence of God. You might have to do that, but my friend, it won't be hell if you're saved. You might have a little trouble down here, but it's not going to be hell, praise God. Amen. Now, you'd be a whole lot better to go ahead and come clean. You'd be a whole lot better to get honest with God about whatever it is that you have thought was so well hidden. So I go back into this. I had you read that word, little word, two-letter word there in the 9th verse, do. He tells us the things that are whatever things are honest and true and pure. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report. That's all the good stuff. He said, if there's anything good in any of those, if there be any virtue in that stuff, if there be any praise, he said, you think on those things. And then he goes beyond the thought process. A lot of us want to think good things. We think well. Brother Tim, we think that'd be good if we brought the kids to Sunday school. It'd be good if we had revival. It'd be good if we had Bible school. It'd be good to knock on a door or two. It'd be good for me to bow my knees in prayer. It'd be good for me to do whatever. My friends, let me tell you, it's time we get honest with God and go beyond the thinking, quit thinking about it, and actually start doing it. Get honest with God. He said, whatever that stuff is, whatever you've heard of me, whatever you've learned of me, he said, and all these things, he said, whatever's a good report, whatever's pure, whatever's just, whatever's holy, whatever things are this. He said, don't just think on these things. In the 9th verse, he said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. What's the next word? Do. It's time we put into action what we're preaching. You preached a message one time here about walking the talk. That's what we've got to do. We've got to walk the talk and quit just talking the talk. But you better put some legs on it and get honest with God, because God knows if you're just giving him lip service. And let me tell you, like I said, you may not be lying with your lips, but if you're lying with your deeds and action, you're still lying to God. And he understands and he knows. If you're hiding sins and not confessing sins, those sins are not forgiven. They're hidden. Told you earlier, if you're not gathering, you're scattering. You said, is that in the Word of God? Preacher, is it in the Word of God? If you're not gathering, you're scattering. It's in the book. I told you earlier, if you're not loving, you're hating. So many things that so tightly go into this about getting honest with God. So I ask you this. Are you willing to get honest with God? You say, well, what happens if I get honest with God? Ryan, if you get honest with God, you know what that does? It proves to her and her and her that you finally took your Christianity, your salvation experience, you finally took that seriously. You say, well, preacher, what's so important about that? I told you her, her, and her. What about her and her? Is that not important to them? Does Papa want to be found a liar by Miss Avery? Papa want to be found a liar by his, their daddy want to be found a liar by his daughters? I sure wouldn't want to be found out a liar. So why is it so important? Why is it important for a pastor? Brother Tim, wouldn't it be awful to pick up the newspaper in the morning and found out pastor of Calvary Baptist Church disclosed for pedophilia, exposed for drugs, exposed for vandalism, theft, breaking and entering, whatever. What would that do? It would kill the testimony of this great church that your daddy fought and worked so hard to protect. It's time we get honest with God. Are you a preacher? Get honest with God. Start praying unto God. Pray like he said, with specificity of prayer, and say, God, you have called me to preach. Lord, would you just open some doors for me? Send me a field. Send me a vineyard. Send me a labor place. Help me. I don't care if it's with Brother Larry Adams or Brother Larry Key or this place, that place. But bless God, if it's not you, then who? If it's not you, then who? If it's not here, then where? If it's not now, then when? I'm not just picking on him. If it's not you, then who? Or Miss Sandra, if it's not you, then who? If it's not you, then who? If it's not here, then where? If it's not right back now, then when? What are we taking for granted? And what are we doing? I'm telling you, my friends, we're going through the motions. And we're playing. And it's time we got honest with God. Tam, there is nowhere in my life or in his life or your life for us to sit around and say one thing. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And then never go to his house. Never preach, never teach, never volunteer, never take out the trash at the Life Center, never pick up a snotty Kleenex from the pew, never do anything for him. We need to get honest with God. I'm serious, my friends. This thing is serious business. Brother Scott's probably downstairs in children's church, but he prays before he brings the altar call up. And I can almost see him tonight flipping through that red back hymnal. And he's not here, but if he were up, is Scott up here or is he not up here? What song would he pick tonight? You say, I don't know, preacher. If you were the song leader, you know what song I would pick? What'd you say? Oh. How about Why Not Tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Not tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Not tonight. Why not tonight? Why not now? Why not let a service? Listen, my friends, this is impromptu preaching straight from the throne room of Almighty God. When I told my wife, I said, honey, God's changed my message. I'm not going with what he had previously given me. I told you previously I was going with this thought. It is finished. It's just the beginning. God took that. He kind of sidelined that. He said, I want you to tell them to get honest with me. You said, why this? You talked to God about it. I'm going to tell you what. I've got one less employee tomorrow than I had this morning when I went in. I've got a job opening. I had somebody that I worked with every day, after day, after day, after day, for 5+ years. Add the time that I've spent with her. Melissa, add the days that we've, the conversations that we've had. How many times could I have really, Brother Tam, just expounded upon how good my God is? You said, yeah, but they don't need to hear that in the workplace. Yeah, that's what everybody says. They're down there to do this. They're down there for a job. They don't want to hear about Jesus. Listen, brother and sister, I'm a pastor. I don't check my pastorate at the door. I don't have a gun belt that I go in and hang my gun up. I don't check anything at the door. If I'm a pastor here, I'm a pastor there. If I'm a pastor there, I'm a pastor here. We don't change garments. I'm not a chameleon. I can't separate that. It's got me in trouble a time or two. Had to go in one time and said, I'm done praying with y'all. I can't pray with you anymore. And that happened a little while back. I had a couple of my employees didn't want me praying with them anymore. That's okay. You know what the first thing they're going to do in the morning, Brother Kippy, whenever I come in, you know what they're going to want? They've already called me. A couple of them's already called me. And said, can you meet us in the parking lot in the morning? They said, we've hung a wreath on the back door. Said, can we hold hands in the parking lot and maybe pray? and go in together. He said, it's going to be hard to go in there in the morning. You said, what's all that? Why are you bringing us down? No, I'm telling you this. Get honest with God. You show me in your King James Bible where you have the promise of going to work in the morning. Ryan, you're getting ready for a little vacation. I believe this time your whole family gets to go. Not just you and my sister-in-law, but these two get to go and their families. Is that right? Miss Nanny, you going? Praise the Lord. That you probably got a reservation, or you're just going to fly by the seat of your pants and find something when you get there. In other words, you're planning on going. Lord willing, you will. But if Lord will, somebody else might be staying in that house or condo or wherever you're going. Somebody else might be there. You said, preacher, this is a solemn message. No, it's the real message. It's a message of uprightness to remind us. I've said it and I've said it and I've said it. Jake, you like ball. No doubt in my mind, Reggie Golds, wherever he's sitting tonight, probably keeps that sports channel on probably about 90% of the time. Maybe 90 or higher. What good would it have done for you to memorize the batting average of every New York Yankee, Atlanta Braves player, the last 50 Heisman Trophy winners, the last Super Bowl champions for the last 50 years? What good would that do you if you don't even know that John 3:16 is in the book? I'm going to be honest with you. It's time we get real with God. I can't tell you who won the last World Series. I can't tell you who won the last Wimbledon champion. I don't know who won the last Masters. I don't know who the MVP of the Super Bowl was. I know who it wasn't. Yes. Thankfully, that made my day right there. That's good preaching. As long as it wasn't Tom Brady, I'm all right. Brother Tim, what good would it do if I knew all those sports stats, but I didn't know Jesus? How would it be if I took them girls and me and mama raised them up? We homeschooled them and we raised them up that they had an IQ of 170. They know it all. Well, most of them do at that age, but never figured that one out. But they don't know the scriptures. To be saved or to lead somebody else to the Lord? Could Alexia and or Preston take their King James Bible and take that scripture and show somebody else that Romans road and tell them how to be saved? If they can't, you failed as a daddy. I take you back to Charlie. Taking you back to Charlie. Charlie was a young man that defamed my wall. His father found out about it. His father said, you're going to fix this. And after he fixed that, he apologized for doing it, and then he righted his wrong. His daddy was the one that found that. I didn't find that. His daddy found it. What has your daddy found? I'm not talking about Mr. Shoemate. I'm talking about your heavenly father. Now, your heavenly father wants you to fix some things. You say, well, how am I going to fix it? Your heavenly father's pointing you to a son that said, guess what? He took your whipping. He took your beating. He took your shame. He took your penalty. So, John, guess what? You get to go free. Now, how about that? Charlie's got a brother by the name of Andrew. Wouldn't that have been something if he took Andrew in there and said, Andrew, you clean off Charlie's mess? That would be a problem. You see, he's not going to say, hey, Karen messed up. Feldman Cheek wouldn't say, hey, Karen messed up, Tam, I'm going to whoop you. No. God's going to take care of his own.
That's right.
But he does it through his son. Charlie got found out. Why? Because the father saw it. What's your father looking at tonight? And as we stand all over the house tonight, I asked you this question just as pointed as I know how to be. Are you being honest with God? Just play something real soft, Miss Macy. Are you being honest with God?